Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Keep your messages coming on 0266-026-941. The most critical challenge inherited by the government is the very high, or some people want to call it unprecedented, level of unemployment, particularly among the youth. To address this challenge, the government is embarking on one of the most comprehensive programs for industrial transformation ever to be introduced in our country. The key elements of this program include an iron and steel and an integrated aluminium industry. This was contained in the president's first State of the Nation address, which he delivered in February this year. 5 months down the line, members of parliament have underscored the need for a national decision to be taken on a revival of the Volta Aluminium Company, Valco. The MPs noted that the revival of Valco will help drive the establishment of an integrated aluminium industry that will provide jobs for the unemployed. So what impact will this make? Joining us on the line is the MP for Kumawu, Philip Basua. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, my brother.
Thanks for your time. You made a statement on the floor of Parliament regarding the revival of Valco. What motivated that?
Thank you, my brother, and a good evening to your cherished listeners. My brother, the issue, what informed my decision to make that statement came up from the problem of unemployment, which is bedeviling our nation, Ghana. You see, we always talk about the fact that the youth are the future leaders. And the youth we have today are the people who will take over from us. So the question is, what are we building in there? I see that these youth that we are relying or depending on, most of them are not employed or are not living a productive life, which will better the course of our nation. And I see that if the nation is to look into the bauxite industry and help develop it, it will help a lot in creating jobs of which the youth can get something to do. You see, when bauxite industry, the government attention is turned into it, I think it will have a lot of a rippling effect. And, you know, when we look at Valco as a company, Valco use what we call alumini. And alumini is obtained from the bauxite. But when we look at the bauxite deposits we have in the nation, according to experts, they say we have about 960 million metric tons of bauxite. And this thing, it is underexploited. If we are able to mine and mine it well, it can help us to develop the idea of Kwame Nkrumah establishing the Valco industry is to go along with the refinery. But this thing, that the little that we mine, we take it to UK to refine it over there and bring it to sell it at a high cost to us. Now, when you go to Valco, apart from the fact that it has a problem with the electricity, power down, power up, the machines that they are using over there, the cells that they are using over there, it is only one which is working.
Wow.
Which is very sad. Valco now is operating at 20% of its rated capacity. Of the five source lines which are working, which should be working, it is only one which is working. So if the attention of government is turned very well to Valco to help to revamp the Valco, it will help solve the problem of unemployment that we have in the country. Now, the workers, most of them have been laid off are forced to leave the company because the company cannot operate in a situation whereby it cannot work in its full capacity. So I believe that if the attention is turned to Valco, it will lead to the revamping or the government taking serious attention to bauxite mining, which will in turn help getting the raw material to support the development of the company.
Successive government have paid lip service to getting Vaalco on its feet. They've not been that successful. What is the real problem?
The problem is what I would say, lack of political will. The political will hasn't been there. You see, when the MPP government took over under President John Ajekum Kufuor, he paid serious attention to it. And as we all aware, 90% of his the Kaiser ownership was taken. So it all boils down to the political will of the government. Now, with the new government, Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo is paying serious attention to the development of bauxite industry, which will in turn help to be a source of raw material if it is well tapped to support the development of Vaalco and other related bauxite companies which use aluminium in the manufacturing of their products. So the problem has to do with the political world. That's what I see.
Is it the case that without Vaalco operating at its full capacity, it will be impossible for us as a country to have an integrated aluminium industry?
No, as we are aware, Vaalco operation, the problem that the Vaalco has isn't only about getting the aluminium from the bauxite. You know, they have electricity problem. You know, when in 2004, when it started operating in its full capacity, there wasn't any problem of electricity. So when electricity problem is also solved, I think coupled with the interest of the government into the bauxite mining, which will in turn lead to the refinery of the product, which of it, it is the raw material to the Vaalco industry, I think the problem will be solved.
So beyond making a statement on the floor of parliament, what next?
You know, there has been a move by the government, as you recently held Dr. Mahmoud, the vice president, has made frantic effort in getting partnership from all over the world. I think the president's visit to China attests to this fact. So since I'm in the government, there will be consultation, there will be interaction with the powers that be, the chief executive in charge of most of the operations which are connected to the use of aluminium, and to ensure that the attention of government is seriously directed to it, to ensure that this dream of us all, of which it will have a serious a benefit for the nation, will be realized.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on Behind the News here on Radio Ghana. We are very grateful, sir.
Thank you, too, sir.
Philip Basua is the Member of Parliament for Kumawu. He's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. And also joining us on the line is the General Secretary of the Industrial and Commercial Workers Union, ICU, Solomon Kote. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, and my regards to all your cherished listeners.
What? Many people have heard of Vaalco, but what is its relevance to our economy?
In fact, the thermal industrial area in the years past, in the latter 70s, Vaalco played such a major role. And out of Vaalco, we have had a lot of the metal companies like Aliwest, like Wahom, and the rest of them who all survived on Vaalco until our electricity crisis from the hydro that Vaalco started, you know, shutting down some of its lines. And for that matter, it has reduced its production and its activity. And it has affected employment in that score. It has affected many little companies who have all had to shut down because Vaalco performance has come down. So the dream to get Vaalco back
Am I getting the impression that without sustainable electricity, it will be very difficult for Valco to operate?
Yes, it is a high power consuming company. And even if it doesn't get the required amount of power to operate, then it will be operating at a loss. Even currently, the way it operates, management have been complaining that the overheads are becoming, far more than what they are realizing. In many respects, they are only struggling to put the company on its feet. So if the power generation can come in a manner that it can get its full capacity to operate, I'm very sure their turnaround will be big and the net effect that Ghanaians will benefit from Valco's operation.
But if Valco is that important to job creation and other important sectors for economy, what explains the lackadaisical attitude by our government, particularly successive ones?
Well, it's been the willpower and the direction of any given government in the past where they want to charge their workers. Those that we are hearing now, especially under the NPP, who say they are committed to see to the full operation of the Valco, they will chalk a big success. That is, if one, they are able to get the power supply to come, because Valco's viability is such that all its products are hot cake on the international market. They will not produce what they are going to sit and look for markets around. So I will put it at the doorpost of willpower of the successive government. These are the challenges in the power distribution. I recall very well when the power crisis got heightened. They were compelled to shut down so that other segment of the society can also get some amount of power. This obviously affected Valco's productivity. So I think it boils down on goodwill and then the determination to say, can we have some power generation outside our hydro or whichever way that will still make it viable?
In this competitive world, is it possible that there will be powers outside the country that might not be interested in getting Valco operate at full capacity, so that whatever will be done there could be sent to certain countries to be done for their economy to benefit?
Obviously, those who are looking at the comparative advantage they have over Ghana, they will be making those prayers and hoping that, well, what ordinarily could have come to Valco will turn up coming over to them. And it is business sentiment one can express everywhere in the world. So obviously, there are enemies to Valco, though we might not see them physically with our eyes. Their operations and their actions suggest that if they will get their own terms, Valco should remain where it is now. Because when it was on full operation, we also had the benefit to the country.
The Nanado-led government has given the indication that it's going to take this thing serious. What advice do you have for them if we are going to have a sustainable Valco?
You see, the Nanado-led government have given so many promises, including this one. And we are yet to get the proper roadmap as to which one they are going to tackle first. You know, they began a whole, pump and pungency on the food and planting for jobs. We haven't heard anything again. Now, this Valco one is also pending. So we will be very happy if they begin to draw the roadmap to show how each promise, especially to this Valco, what timelines are we supposed to look out for, and then when they are going to turn things around. These things are not clear. The course is not clear for anybody to understand these promises, how they are going to gel, how they are going to come into fruition. So I will advise that the government has touched on the sensitive things that all Ghanaians want to welcome and hail. And the next thing they have to do is to tell us the how, the process by which they are going to get these things into fruition.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. But we understand you are up in arms with government. You want some money to be paid you. Is that the case?
For ICU?
Yes, some workers, including ICU. Pension issues and...
ICU, our pension issues, we have resolved them to a large extent. If there's any segment of ICU membership that I've not had, is pension issues resolved, I can just count them on my fingertips. A large majority of ours have resolved that problem of ours.
All right. We want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight.
You're welcome.
Solomon Kote is the General Secretary of the Industrial and Commercial Workers Union. Just last weekend, the Black Star skipper Asamoah Gyan and some Ghanaian businessmen were conferred with honorary doctorate degrees by a Ukrainian university. News of it raised concern and comments in media about the craze of Ghanaians for the title doctor. In the past, conferring such titles didn't attract much attention because some people assumed that those who were awarded such titles were deserving of such. But in recent times, we witnessed some unaccredited universities awarding questionable honorary doctorate degrees on certain individuals of different shades, from pastors, radio presenters, businessmen, name them. The National Accreditation Board last year raised concerns about this issue when many people were getting such awards. This year, it is with us again, and the National Accreditation Board has hinted that it is not happy with the practice, cautioning such people to desist from using the title doctor. So what does it mean for somebody to use this title doctor, and what difference does it mean? Who qualifies to use the title? We've been joined on the line by Professor Esuma Johnson. He is a political scientist with the Department of Political Science, University of Ghana, Legon. Prof, good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
Prof, you people train people and award them doctorate degrees. But these days we hear people on the street who some haven't even acquired a university degree, they are using such titles. When you hear of such, how do you feel?
I don't feel anything. If some people it means simply, well, it's something they can attain legitimately. So if they resort to other means, well, the society recognizes that it's very much like you declaring yourself a chief. Well, the society doesn't really recognize you as such. So that's it. I mean, no university in Ghana would, you know, recognize your doctorate. If you masquerade as a doctor when we in the industry don't recognize you as such.
Some people argue that for those who have been awarded, some have worked hard, some are very successful businessmen and women, and so for such contributions, it should be okay for them to be awarded such doctorate degrees.
Well, yeah, the universities, we have a process of giving honorary degrees. Yes. We have a process that we go through to do such, awarding of what we call honoris causa. It's purely honorary. It is not an academic degree.
Okay.
And yes, for that, the university is like you've been given an honor. And therefore, well, it's up to you to decide whether you want to use the designation doctor or not. But it is not an academic degree, and it's an honor, and that's all there is to it.
So what then explains the difference? The degree you award, you say it is awarded. So if this one is honored, does it make any difference?
Oh, yes. I mean, you earn a degree, a PhD, after going through a systematic study, Yes, it's well set out. You honor it or you complete it by presenting an original work, which we call a thesis, to a body that know the area. It's not that you go and present it before people who don't know anything about what you are talking about. Yes. So after you have satisfied those who know, you know, quite a lot about the area you have presented the thesis, then the university awards you, you know, that's okay. After going through a series of examinations, the university now awards you PhD in, you know, and it is specified. You are given a PhD in a specified area.
Okay.
It's not, I mean, every PhD is located in a particular discipline. Yes. You know, so that's the whole, the difference between, if people go and pay for honorary degree, well, the honorary degrees are not located in any specific discipline.
Okay.
Yes.
But Prof, people who hold such degrees, professors, doctors, they are respected in our country or elsewhere. And so if this trend continues, anybody at all gets a roadside degree, he or she goes to town and puts up a certain behavior, and somebody might think that it is one of the good doctorate degree guys that is misbehaving. Is that not tarnishing the image of this esteemed titles?
Oh, I don't think it does, because let me give a good example, like our good old Azuma Nelson. Well, he said he's a professor. Well, I believe the way he understands the title is that he's a teacher. He teaches, he can teach people everything about boxing.
Okay.
But that's about it, you know. But a professor is not simply about teaching. It is about research. The university's work is basically promoted by research and not so much by teaching. Yes. So the title professor, fine, you are, it's on promotion. So if you've noticed, all those who carry, go and, pay for whatever, they are honorary doctorate. No professor is given as an honorary,
yes. But sometimes the institutions that award such doctorate degree, we are told, are not accredited. Is it the case that for a university to even award an honorary doctorate degree, it must be accredited?
Oh, well, yes. I mean, our universities in Ghana, state-owned universities, and even, I believe in the private universities, they can award honorary degrees. Yes, and that is normally the honorary doctorates that people talk about. Every year the university holds, we invite an academic of world renown to come and give a series of lectures, after which normally the university honors the person with an honorary doctorate. The university doesn't honor anybody with a professorial, a degree. It's just, and for those academics who are honored, they have their doctorate, which are properly anchored in university. The universities, they pursued studies, and at the end of which they wrote thesis. Every what you might call quote unquote, every academic doctorate is awarded on the production of a thesis. Yes. And a professor is on promotion following your publication. You get it?
Yes.
So if somebody goes to pay for an honorary doctorate, it doesn't mean much to accredited universities. It doesn't make any difference to those of us in the, you can call yourself anything. You get it?
Yes.
Yes. You can call yourself, you are a professor, you are, or even general. Our friends in the army also have titles. Equally, in a traditional society, we don't just give titles to anybody. Those in a royal family, this and that and that. And if you don't belong to the royal, family, and then you choose to call yourself Nana, fine. Nobody would accord you
the due respect.
Yeah, the honor of being a royal.
Right.
So it is similarly, those of us in the university, if you hear of Professor Azuma Nelson, we take it in stride. Oh, yeah, he's an accomplished boxer. He was a world champion, and that's about it. Nobody, I don't think universities where they teach in the sports, I believe the sports college and us would really sort of, at best maybe they might call him to come and give some talk, general. But it isn't something he has gone through a set of study, in boxing.
All right.
He just learned the trade, So similarly, if I understand the captain of Black Stars,
Asamoah Gyan,
has also gone to, collect some doctorate. Well, you ask yourself, doctorate in what? Football? And therefore, as Ghanaians, if he comes and asks us to call him Dr.
Asamoah Gyan,
we take it with a pinch of salt. I don't think any Ghanaian, maybe supporters, supporters, they are fanatics. He's also a doctor. Doctor of what?
Right. Prof, we are very grateful for your time on our show tonight.
Well, thank you.
Professor Esuman Johnson is with the Department of Political Science, University of Ghana, Legon. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. The Executive Secretary of the National Accreditation Board, Kwame Ndate, has agreed to speak to us, but as we speak, his line is not going through. As and when we get him, we'll get his side on this issue. But let's go to the University of Education, Winneba, and we have Dr. Brahima Awesu on the line. He's a senior lecturer there at the Department of Political Science. Good evening, Doc, and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, and thank you for having me.
Doc, what could possibly be explaining the grief for the title doctor? Pastors are virtually dying for it, boxers, footballers, journalists, and so on and so forth.
Thank you very much. I think the title doctor, the title professor, just to add wit to your name, and such titles are not got on the silver platter of late. It has become too much. The extent that people who probably have not gone beyond even O levels or SSS, for whatever reason, whether through their contribution to society, are given this title. But unfortunately, it has become too much in the system that people will go and lobby for it. Let me use the word lobby. Lobby for it to be awarded. And they parade themselves as doctor of that. I'm a doctor of that. At the end of the day, you're unable to distinguish between somebody who have gone through the mill, wrote thesis, and awarded, and those who I'll be honest. But let's be honest with you. There's no problem if an individual has contributed so much to society that a university recognizes that this individual, in spite of his contribution to society, they have not been given that weight. That is the title. And the person is honored by giving that title. But to extend that now, you can't tell. Who are going through the mail, who are reading thesis and what have you. And I think it affects our academic ladder to the extent that the person using the title, there's no quote based on it. Mm-hmm. Now you're able to tell that this person was on it and did not go through the mail. So as I'm concerned, it appears we have people who are way into the academic system, and if care is not taken, other people will parade themselves in universities and call themselves doctor, and therefore they want to lecture. And that is my worry.
The National Accreditation Board is cautioning such honorary doctorate degree holders to desist from using the title doctor. Do you support such calls?
Yes, I do. I know a lot of people in Ghanaian society who have been honored this doctorate degree, but they don't use it. For example, former President Kufuor, he has a doctorate degree on it, but he doesn't use it. Former President John Mahama, he has an honorary doctorate degree. He doesn't use it. Because, they will take it, at least for recognizing my contribution to society. But to the extent that you use it as if you went through the mail to pick it, I think that's where my problem is. So this day you hear Dr. Apostle that. Doctor, so at the end of the day, in fact, for me, at the end of the day, if care is not taken, it will degrade the PhD or the doctorate degree from the academy. Because anybody at all is called upon and honored. And others, that nobody has honored them, but they themselves realize that they want to add the title to their names. And they begin to use it. And so, there's the accreditation board.
Yeah, National Accreditation Board.
Yes, they have every right to question people the way and manner they use their title. As we speak now, how are we going to tell that there are some lecturers, especially in the private universities, who are using the title doctor, who in fact have not gone through any thesis writing? We are unable to check. Because the person comes with the title, and that he's a doctor, and on the basis of that, he's appointed. So for me, there should be some kind of moderation. And if possible, yes, go for it. We've all seen it. We'll clap for you. but you don't add it to your name and use it as if you went through the mail to pick it.
I'm sure very soon you start hearing Dr. Samuajan, the man who takes penalty.
In fact, I was watching him when your call came, and I was wondering, probably for me, I look at Dr. Samuajan, maybe his contribution to football. But if I were him, yes, it's an honor. I have taken it. At least, so a university to recognize me or recognize my contribution to society is good enough. But to go and use the name, as if I'm just comparable to any academic, I don't think there's fairness in the system. So National Accreditation Board, I support your call for people to receive it all right, but this is from using it.
All right.
Just like in the military, if we're a captain in the military, even if you are a captain in the military and you are sacked or you are dismissed, they will question you not to use the title because you didn't get it from, you got it, but because of some misconduct, dismissed. They will ask you not to use it. But in our case, you know, everybody else says, I'm a doctor. And very soon, people migrate from doctor to professor. And I don't know, we'll have a problem on our hands.
All right. Thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. I'd be very grateful.
Thank
Dr. Brian Mawisu is a senior lecturer at the Department of Political Science, University of Education, Winneba. We've also been joined on the line by the Executive Secretary of the National Accreditation Board, Kwame Date. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
We understand the National Accreditation Board is cautioning people with 100 doctorate degrees to not to use the title doctor. What explains that?
Well, as the previous speakers they informed you, you don't use what you have not earned. But National Accreditation Board had not decreed that nobody should use it. Well, all that we are saying is that if you are using it, then you don't bring it into the academic field. You see, as you were told, people like Kofi Annan had several honorary doctorate degrees. Even Obama and all those people, they have several and honorary degrees, but they don't use it. So why are people in a hurry to use titles which they have not earned?
We understand some of the institutions awarding such degrees are not accredited. Is that the case?
Yes, in most cases, especially those who come down to Ghana to award those degrees. While they are stuck in trades, they identify very prominent people in the society and they confer such degrees on them. And we have been cautioning those people to check the accreditation status with this, because in the law establishing the accreditation board, it says clearly that if you are unaccredited or you don't have the power to do so, you can't award not only the regular degrees, but you can also not award honorary degrees.
Has the National Accreditation Board got that capacity to determine which foreign university is accredited or not, if they come here to award such degrees?
Yes. The National Accreditation Board is the body that evaluates and determines the equivalences between qualifications. And if it does not have the capacity to do so, who else will have?
Here we are. It's year in, year out, people are being awarded, some locally. What is the Accreditation Board going to do about that?
When it comes to our notice, we normally write to those people who are purporting to award the degrees or where they are even going to be hosted. But sometimes, before you realize it is in the newspapers, the news media, you give them prominence even before it comes to our attention.
The pastors are doing it more these days. But we have so many institutions that have been established by some of these churches. And so if they decide to go in there and teach with such titles, it's also in the academy. What will the Accreditation Board do?
I wonder whether people really believe, or they have really studied the Bible. Where in the Bible did it say that if you are not a professor or if you are not a doctorate degree holder, you won't go to heaven? Why are people allowing themselves to be deceived? The first thing is, if they are really true to their calling, they should stick to what they have been taught, rather than concerning themselves with titles which they have not earned in the first place.
Do you have the power to close down an institution that has not been accredited, yet keeps flouting your rules when it comes to awarding these degrees?
Unfortunately, no. The accreditation board has power to revoke the accreditation of institutions it has accredited if they do not go by the terms and conditions under which they were accredited. Unfortunately, when it comes to unaccredited institutions, the law doesn't empower the accreditation board to go after them.
Will you want a law that will give you that power to do that?
Yes, actually, we have proposed amendments to the law that should empower the accreditation board to have more bite than it has now.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. We are very grateful, sir.
Thank you.
Kwame, that is the Executive Secretary of the National Accreditation Board. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. Some of your text messages. The development of our industrial sector by President Akufo-Addo is the priority of infrastructure, social and economic progress of Ghana through our mineral resources. Amadou Umar Inandu from Mankarigu sent in that one. Ghana cannot develop without embarking on modern agriculture and industrialization. Great Britain developed as a result of its agricultural and industrial revolutions in the 1800s. So the Valco idea is the wisest thing to do. Or this year, Nketiah sent in this from Wenchi. On behalf of the good people of Central Volta region, that area after Pekki, traditional area and beyond Hohoi, their main highway, which is part of the Eastern Corridor Highway, is now a showcase of potholes and a likely death trap for both travelers and first-time visitors. It is a national disaster issue. Please, Minister of Roads and Highway, act now. Odewale sent in this from Kasua. The proposed revamping of Valco is in order, which will create a lot of jobs for the youth, and this is what the minority in parliament should be doing and avoid propaganda. NSIE in Kaliu sent in that one. AU Farouk in Tamale says, good evening to you, George. In fact, Ghana's legislative arm has been put to disgrace and shame. Honorable Adjoa Safo's claims of being behind the success of senior high school structure in her constituency through the World Bank is total mischief and a lie. Her dignity and integrity as a member of parliament is shameful. Redeemer Inyagome from Adidome, Volta region. How does the using of the doctorate title by an ordinary man affect the profession? They should leave them alone. Greetings to you, George. From George Kenneth Lati and Esinam Godu. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. Moving on to other stories. Last week, we followed up on the disturbing reports of floodings in some parts of the country and the displacement of hundreds of people because of the rains, particularly in areas such as Chifuprasso in the central region, and Law Beach in the western region, and some parts of the Greater Accra region, particularly the Weja Dam area where the dam was spilled. Tonight, Behind the News looks at the latest situation on the ground, and joining us on the line is the Central Regional NADMO Public Relations Officer, Eric Arthur. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Hello. Yeah, this is Abdul Ghani, Western Region.
Western Region, all right. Thanks for your time, Abdul Ghani Mohammed. What's the latest situation in the Western Region?
My brother, thank you very much, and thank you to your station as well.
And my greetings to your cherished listeners. The latest news currently is that Amefi West District and precisely Samaboy, a community in Samaboy called a community called Aboy Nkwanta in Suechu, and the Nankaba Chrome has been submerged in a flooded water. Then myself, the regional director, and the deputy regional minister, and the DC of the area, Honorable Dewey, accompanied to the area to assist the citizens who have been displaced from their various homes. Through the central government, we were able to acquire some few items to support these victims. That are mattresses and other relief items to see their well-being. And these people are living in five centers, mainly churches and classroom blocks. We had a few challenges, and then there's a company there called Samates. They are producers of timber, and they have done marvelously well to support these victims as well. They have also provided food and some mattresses as well to support the needs of these people.
How many people are we talking about? Can you put a figure?
We're talking about 1,000 people. Then some of them, because of it's a family zone, and some of them have been moved to their family homes to live with the family. But currently, majority of them, over 800, are still in the school blocks, and some of them are in the churches also.
Any casualties so far?
We thank God that all this while we haven't had any problem of casualties. So God has always been on our side.
Are there signs that the rains will stop any time soon?
You know, this Western region where always rains has always been our problem. And we have major rivers as well, because those who are sitting along the river boundaries, most especially with Tano River and River Pra, this problem that has befallen us, we have another river called Samre in the Samaboy in the Samaboy area. We had a lot of problem with this rivers, because these people are living in between this river. So definitely if it overflows its banks, it will definitely get into the community. It has been a very, very major problem with us in the region. And then even currently on my way from Jomoro District, which the Tana River passed through the Jomoro District, a community called around Elibu, community called Zongo, Elibo Zongo, has flooded. The schools, there are two schools there which has been flooded, and they have moved people from the school to other grounds to do their learning.
Right. Abdul, I want to thank you very much for your time on our show. We surely will come back to you as things unfold. Abdul Ghani Mohammed is the Western Regional Coordinator of NADMO. From the Central Region, Eric Arthur is the Public Relations Officer, and he joins us on the line. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, sir.
And what is the very latest on the ground in the Central Region?
Well, the latest I can actually confirm to you is that the regional NADMO Director, in the person of Mr. James Apiamensa, is doing everything possible to ensure that the situation is being resolved. As I speak to you now, he, together with a team, if not being already in Accra, they are still on the way to Accra to ensure that more of relief items are being given to them for an onward distribution to the disaster victims we have recorded so far. As I speak with you now, I can say categorically that when you go to the Upper Dinsha West, where we have the massive disaster, where about 2,201 people were massively affected, the situation is now under control. I can also confirm to you that most of these victims have already gone back to their places of abode. They have moved from our safe havens that we gave to them during the crisis stages. As the saying goes, I mean, home sweet home. So they have already gone back to their various abodes. When you come to the Aguna West, where we have Aguna Sedro, some communities in the Otabi Chrome, Locos, Mawonjo, Zabuzongo, and other areas, the situation there too is also under control. The waters have subsided, and the victims have already gone back to their places because the water is no longer there. So, and there too, we were talking about 1,192 people who were displaced. But as the waters have gone down, they have actually gone back to their various homes.
All right.
The situation is a little bit difficult.
Okay.
In the Chifo Atimakwa district.
All right.
Yeah.
We want to thank you very much. We'll come back to you as the days unfold. Unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you for your time on our show. Eric Arthur is the Central Regional PRO of NADMO. It's behind the news and some of your text messages. Yes, George, I thought as much. The title doctor becomes so common that anybody could get up and say he or she is a doctor. This must stop. Achufuga in Tabora. Abdullahi Elias, minister in Santani Tolon district, says government needs to take emergency steps to find a lasting solution in Ghana. George, you are doing a wonderful job for Ghana. Dohi Nayili in Tamale, where Rafik is writing from, says the PRO of MPP SMS group, says Ghanaian patients should take doctors' advice seriously. Drug resistance is caused by failure to complete taking the full dosage. Mustafa Tamale, secretary NPP SMS group, says in fact government should do something about these flood issues so as to save lives. We should not wait for a disaster to occur before we begin to plan how to solve the problem. Razak Gulung in Kumbungu district, NPP SMS group organizer, says sorry to all people affected by the rain, but NADMO should come to their aid. Courage, George, I thank you for the good work you continue to do. Keep it up. Christopher from Ameku Volta region. I think the MP call is just in the right direction. The unemployment level in Ghana is too high. Alsan from Zugu. George, I think the problem of unemployment in this country is increasing day by day, and that was the reason MPP came to power with that unprecedented election results. And as at now, we the citizens of this country don't know how and when government resolving the problem. Mohammed Gaddafi, Obundi, Accra, New Town. That is all for tonight's edition of Behind the News. My producers have been Asibi Bangu Ikela, Seth Eyia, John Pobi, Beland Elom Tete, Suwel Nanama Jekum, and Philip Boateng. Hannah Owusu Bempa was our sound engineer, and I'm George Asike. Till we meet again, God willing, same time tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of our programs.